In the bulletin, there are a few notes about our speaker, Eloise Neenan. Among other things, she is a certified lay speaker. I think she's also a certified Methodist, having been born to a Methodist minister and come up in the Methodist church. And she's probably had most jobs that are available at the local church and district level and the conference level. And she has attended two international conference meetings. She has done some mission work in Turkey and Japan, and obviously has a mission heart. So we are just really pleased to have her with us this morning and look forward to her message.
Good morning. It's a real pleasure to be here. I'm a member of a church about the same size in Chatham, and the sense of community you can have at a church like this is really, really great. I was living in Florida for a while and was a member of a church of 1,600 members, and there's some positives with that, but I like the community. The other thing I noticed when I turned the second page inside, it says Pastor Tony, and I thought, oh, that sounds familiar. My pastor's name is Tony. Now, it's her last name. It's her last name, Pat Tony. So anyway, that's how it is. And I think it's providential that Nora noticed there was a spider coming down and down and down, and I reached over just about a minute ago and put my foot on the spider. And as I was doing that, my daughters came in through the door. And Julie is a graduate of the University of Richmond, and of course, they're the Richmond Spiders. So I guess this was letting me know Julie's at the door. She's coming in. She lives in Alexandria, and Emily, my younger daughter, is here, and she lives in Anchorage, Alaska. So she's come the furthest this morning, I think, to come to church. She's here for an American Cancer Society meeting. Looking at Hark the Cry. Methodist women have been hearing the cry of those in need for a very, very long time. It used to be the Ladies' Aid, and as I'm sure as our honoree will remember when it was the Ladies' Aid, right? You remember the Ladies' Aid? And then came the WSCS, the Women's Society of Christian Service, and now we are the United Methodist Women. I learned about deaconesses when I was a very little girl. My father was in New Jersey at the time, and when I was in second grade, a member of our church, who was a bank teller, felt the call to ministry and became a deaconess and served in Savannah, Georgia, with a large community center that she founded. Very, very small, grew quite large, and did a great deal of work. And they're Methodist women who have done wonderful things within the church, as we all know and deeply appreciate. Hearing the cry, hark the cry. Henry Fork Service Center is up in Rocky Mount, which is, I guess it's slightly southwest of here. It's definitely west, slightly south of here. And the vision statement for Henry Fork Service Center is, we envision a community of hope where children, youth, and adults are welcomed, loved, nurtured, and transformed. The mission statement, making God's love visible in the Henry Fork community. And the goals, introduction to and growth in Christianity is a major goal, as is support and scholastic achievement. Many children stay in school because of encouragement and assistance offered at the center. This didn't used to be the case. All respond well to the love and attention they receive at the Henry Fork Mission. How did this come about? The city of Rocky Mount, 10 years ago or so, I've forgotten what year it was, there was information in the paper saying that more sugar was sold in Rocky Mount, Virginia, in a year than the entire city of Chicago. And most all of the sugar was sold by farm equipment dealers. And why was this sugar of such immense quantities being sold? Well, the major industry was bootleg liquor and had been for years. And that's where you gotta have sugar to make bootleg, I understand. And things calmed down a little bit with a little less in terms of bootleg. However, with Lane Company leaving there, textile factory shutting down, there's a need for jobs, and moonshine has surged again, I understand. I don't know personally. I haven't checked it. You don't walk out with a moonshiner, let me assure you. But what we need to realize, that a community, the Doe Run community, where the most of the men are involved with moonshine, you have your operation here, someone has theirs here, there, in the woods, of course, and children are very isolated. They don't get to play with other children. The expectation is perhaps to go through sixth grade, no further than that. Why? This is what the culture of the community was, has been. Very unstable home life, drugs as well as lots of alcohol. Parents, particularly the fathers, being arrested and put in jail. It's a culture on the fringes, as far as we know. It's not the culture. Although a couple times in speaking, I've had someone come up and say, my father used to make bootleg. I was told this in Richmond by two different women. But still, it's a very different culture. What one mother said, my 12-year-old daughter is engaged to be married to a Hispanic man. She will wait until she's 16. And that was considered normal. They're concerned with survival. Discipline is not a part of the local culture. The male figure, as I say, is often gone, substance abuser, physical abuser. The children are afraid of men. And that's still the case today with so many. They need male role models, and so the volunteers being involved is helpful. Now, how did Henry Fork get started? It was a nice story in the Rocky Mount newspaper. Henry Fork Center fulfills woman's vision, which was run about 6 weeks ago, and talks about Charlotte Seeger starting this a half century ago. She was a tiny, tiny little woman. I don't think she was more than 5 feet, 5 foot one at the most. Very small boned and somewhat hunched over, because I remember meeting her in the old days, but determined. She had come to Franklin County as a community missionary for the United Methodist Church. And one of her activities was having a Friday night social for Rocky Mount United Methodist Church for the youth. And she told the friends, the rowdiest kids come from the Henry Fork or Doe Run area. She didn't know why. But she felt that God was calling her, and so she checked out why these were the rowdiest kids, and of course learned quite a bit about that community that she had not known, the broken homes, neglect, unemployment, low income, and so forth, as we've talked about. With help from Methodist women, she secured a small abandoned service station and started, in the fall of 1967, a community center. And she started this with doing some after-school programs 3 days a week. She had an old car to transport kids to the center before an old school bus was donated. We ran into, in going up to a board meeting, we'd often stopped at a convenience market. It's about an hour from Chatham. And a convenience market, and they have a little restaurant there and get a sandwich or something. And we got to talking to the man who ran it. We talked to him before, but we hadn't said that we were on the board of Henry Fork, and that's what we were up here for. And so he told us, he says, oh, he says, I grew up there. Okay. And so he told us what it was like with Charlotte Seeger's. And he said, you know, we used to give her a hard time and tell her not to drive so fast. She never drove over 40 miles an hour. Now, if you're familiar with how bootleggers travel to get away from the revenuers, I had to learn this. I did not grow up learning, not in a Methodist parsonage, let me assure you. but you drive with your foot on the accelerator to the floorboard. And if you need to slow down, like going around a curve or something, and there are lots of curves on those roads, you put the brake on, but you still have your foot on the accelerator. And you can get away from the revenuers pretty fast that way. So the kids were used to the fast driving, and they teased her about driving too fast. You need to slow down, Miss Seegers. And it was kind of neat to hear this man. This is just a few weeks ago we heard his story, but also how he had finished school and now had a business of his own. Without Henry Fork, that is not likely to have happened. To raise funds, Charlotte Seegers regularly went around to Methodist churches and to tell the story and to raise money in order to have programs for the kids and meet the needs of the kids. By 1989, a wing was put on this little old service station, which made it about 1.5 times as large, because let me assure you, the original one was very small. And that made a difference as far as being able to work with more children and have a summer program, because the children had nothing to do in the summer. By 1995, a Charlotte Seegers endowment fund had been set up to help with the funding. And that has raised $100,000, and the income from that is used for part of the programming, let me assure you. Charlotte Seegers retired with ill health, and I'm not sure how old she was, but she wasn't young anymore. And Susan Putnam came as the new deaconess. Now, Susan has an unusual background. One, she's a church organist, and having been a church music director, I appreciate that quality, or that characteristic, I should say. She was an aeronautical engineer. Imagine an aeronautical engineer feeling the call of God and coming to this little community on the edge of Rocky Mount and working with these children and the parents in the entire community there. Real dedication, I must say, and certainly a shocking change. The first tables, by the way, I was reading this with someone who had been there, was telling this story. The first tables were telephone cable spools. You know, the big ones like this. And those were the tables that were used. That was what they had. And gradually they were able to get regular tables, all sorts of equipment gradually coming. Ferrum College students helped. The community became much more involved. And the preschool, after-school programs, a youth choir, family activities, a Big Buddies program with Ferrum students, a self-esteem program for girls to let them know they don't have to entice a boy with sex, which was what their culture was telling them. Having these kids go on field trips, to see more of the outside, what's out there. And some, when their camp scholarships available, are going to summer camp for a week. Anger management classes, most important skill that is needed in this kind of community. They've planted the seeds for the kids that you can finish high school. You don't drop out. You keep on going, and you can go further. And they can move beyond the culture in which they grew up. It was interesting, about a year ago, one of the staff members, who's 32, delightful young woman, was all excited. She says, "Guess what's happening?" And of course, I had no idea. I said, "What?" She said, "I'm graduating from high school at last. I'm 32, and I'm graduating from high school." Well, for most of us, that's kind of inconceivable. But that has been the case with many, and that is what Methodists are doing. One of the board members, the treasurer of our board, Aura, not only graduated from high school, having been part of the Henry Fork community, graduated from high school, went on to college, and is now a CPA. These things were absolutely not even thought about, to say nothing of, not heard of in the past. And Henry Fork has made that kind of difference. And others have gone on to college at times. That's the newer push, is go on to college. Okay, what are the needs? The space for more program space, to be able to help people, more gather more people. And so phase one of the building project has now been completed, that has classrooms, restrooms. The one for the little kids have toilets about this high. I accidentally went into the one that said girls and saw these little tiny toilets. But they have one in the building, too, for some of us who are taller, and the kids who are bigger, too, as far as that's concerned. But it's been designed for a variety of purposes, with some slide folding doors that can open to have a much larger room or in smaller rooms for their after-school programs in particular. And by the way, the after-school programs start with 15 minutes of worship. And then the kids get to do their homework. And they all are supervised in doing their homework. And one of the things about the worship, they're expanding some of this and have come into doing some skits to get the message of Christ over to these kids. And it's interesting with how some of those are going. Phase two, we have a shell building. And a lot of money, as well as work crews, are needed to complete that. About $300,000 is needed to complete it. There'll be room for a Sunday school, and we look at this evolving into a church. Room for a daycare center and a multipurpose room for volleyball, basketball, practice in the evening. Right now, how is this being paid for? Most of it is being paid for by contributions. There is some money that comes from the Virginia Annual Conference. There are people who are making donations. There are work crews coming up there and helping. All kinds. It's interesting to me, when I've been up there at times, that often there are women on these work crews who are doing very nice with plastering and doing all sorts of things that I don't have skills to do, but they do, and I've been impressed. But it's the dedication of the volunteers, and some of them have come from out of state, some great distances. The parents are paying about $30 a month for their child to be there, per family to be there. The cost of that, it is our contributions that pay for the salaries of the workers, and I can assure you, most of them are making minimum wage or just barely above it. We had to raise it because minimum wage was being raised, that are working there, and to run the programs. So the needs are very, very great. So how can you help? If you have some able-bodied, well, energetic, committed people who want to help, there are opportunities for volunteer teams. You can contribute to the building fund so that phase two can be completed. And more the church is being talked about, and starting with the Sunday school and then actually having a church there. We can look at program scholarships, contributing to those. We have a program with some commemorative brick, and I'll have for $100 contributions, and I'll have that down on the refreshment table so you can check that out. And there are some wish lists of equipment and things that are needed. There was some kitchen equipment needed, like a blender and a toaster oven. I've forgotten which. And several people in our church said, well, I've got an extra one of those. And I don't have it with me today, but I will be getting you the up-to-date wish list, because there are some fairly simple things and easy things that you can really make a difference. Also, for some time, they've been collecting basically Campbell's soup labels, but there are other labels also. And that has bought one van and will be buying another van. The opportunity, if you say, oh, I don't have a lot of money right now, I need it for my income, and particularly if you're reaching the age where I am or older, there is a charitable gift annuity that you can look into so that the money that you donate, you are getting income from. And I will tell you, the older you are, the more income you're getting with it as such. And then, obviously, at your death, it goes to Henry Ford. And this is a great help to those who have that need. Yes, hark the cry. The children of Henry Ford are crying out to all of us as to how we can help, how we can share God's love, how we can help them coming from the culture they have come from, to a more productive, up and beyond where they have been. The need is so great. These children have that need. Hark the cry. Do we hear the cry? We sang, if you can't preach like Peter, if you can't pray like Paul, just tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. Yes, there is a balm in Gilead, and that is the balm which we can help provide by supporting them to make the wounded whole, and these are wounded children. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for helping to open our eyes and continue to open our eyes to see what is in our community and beyond our community and where the needs are and what we can do, even doing a small amount like soup labels, but what we can do if we are dedicated to helping. Help us to hear the cry. This is my prayer, O Lord, of all earth's kingdoms. Thy kingdom come on earth, thy will be done. Let Christ be lifted up till all shall serve him, and hearts united learn to live as one. O hear my prayer, thou God of all the nations. Myself I give thee. Let thy will be done. Amen.